Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, November 10th, 2011. It's now 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. We know it's really early in the morning for you, early birds or not so early birds, but please call in 888-773-4496 if you're listening in. You may also access this program through the Blog Talk Radio number of 646-652-4620. You can use that number, especially if you're using cell phones, because doesn't make any difference if it's toll-free. Send us your email to comments at libertytalkradio.com. That's comments at libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. That's sutton-associates.net, and sign up. In his monthly newsletters and podcasts, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You will benefit by it. Don't wait until it's too late. Liberty Talk Radio are archived and available now on our website, but can also be accessed via iTunes. You can also hear our program, not through Twitter, but we're also on Twitter at Liberty Joe for your listening convenience. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on just 1 second. Well, this will be an abbreviated broadcast this morning. What I'm interested in doing is just touching on a few subjects that I think are pertinent, urgent, and important. But I do wish I have plenty of bandwidth, so if people want to call in, interrupt me, and speak on a totally different subject, that is just fine. Just simply dial 888-773-4496, and we'll put you on the air. Right now, I had an interesting discussion with a very good friend of mine. I should say a dear friend. That's a good way of putting it. A dear friend of mine, very introspective, and we started to talk about regulation. We very rarely talk politics. We talk about other things are happening in our lives and stuff. And he felt that, well, you know, we really do need some regulation, you know, and I'm the opposite. But he said, next week we have coffee, let's discuss that further. And I was very pleased that he took that approach. But I've been thinking about regulation. In fact, I am really a proponent of the most staunch regulation you can ever inflict upon oneself. And that is, folks, self-regulation. Just think about that. Self-regulation. You know, we talk about regulation. And what do we mean by that? Who's doing the regulating to whom? And for what means and what purpose and what motive? We don't know that, do we? The assumption is that if we have elected officials, they will govern in a manner that is to our benefit and impose regulations on society that will benefit and protect us. Now think about that. Think about that for a second. That's the assumption, isn't it? Is that always the case? Well, you know, and I know, and everyone in the world will admit to this. Everyone, even a dictator will admit to this. That even the staunchest progressive will admit to this. That, no, that's not the case. It doesn't work that way. And it's interesting that we elect people to regulate us. Isn't that amazing? We elect people to regulate us. Now, who in their right minds would really do that consciously? I can't wait to elect Bob Jones, you know, Bill Doe. I mean, I just can't wait because he's going to impose really restrictive regulations on me and on the rest of society, and that'll make things better. But, you know, it really won't apply to me. It'll apply to everybody else just to make sure they stay in line. I mean, when you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. It's counterintuitive, in fact. But we have to think about it in a different vein. We can't think about it as, oh, here's a regulation. This keeps everyone in line, and it prevents everyone from being hurt or one person from hurting another. In fact, our very Constitution is self-regulatory. Because what it says is the government does nothing. Only in the event that one person takes advantage of another person, unjustifiably, illegally, immorally, whatever the case may be, that there will be a system in place to review that to see if damages would be forthcoming, you know, restitution for damages. In other words, it's a regulator there. That's a regulator, but that's a self-imposed regulation. So when I thought about that, I said, you know, when let's assume for a second that there is some sort of logic in this legislation, right, that we should have some legislation. Who's doing the legislating? Well, you have a person who got into office, who was not got into office, that's it, was elected to office after spending hundreds of thousands, but in most cases, millions of dollars of somebody else's money. Think about that. Millions of dollars of somebody else's, even on the local level. Now, not on the dog catcher or the commissioner. They spend tens of thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why, I don't know. But once you get on the state level and the federal level, you're talking millions of dollars. Well, at least on the federal level, you're talking millions of dollars. And that's where a lot of legislation comes from, major legislation. Now, these people know. Now, the people on the state level, you know, quite frankly, they're not, unless they're just super rich and they want to be the mayor of the city or the governor of the state, that's what they'll do. But for most people, they're not all that rich, but they have to collect a lot of money, lots of money to get elected. So what happens? You have a piece of legislation. You have a legislation. How does legislation start? Well, let's say it's clamoring from the people. The people say, we want this. We want this done. We want that done. This needs to be regulated. No more of this. When they write that legislation, the people, the fat cats, the corporations, or whomever it may be, who might be adversely affected by that legislation, I'm talking about the big boys, the really big money boys. What's the first thing they do? They send their lobbyist. They send their lobbyist over to the politician, whether it be state or local or federal level, and they say, "Hey, Bob, you know, we gave $100,000 to your campaign last year, and we support you 100%, and we intend to continue that support. In fact, we've decided to even ramp up that support. You know, you're going to see a substantial increase in our donations because we believe what you're doing is really the right thing for the people of the state of, or the country of, or whatever the case may be. And this piece of legislation, I have a suggestion. Why don't we write it in such a manner, you know, blah, 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 blah." Now, do you think that legislation is going to be written to favor you and me? Or to favor the person who's giving him the $100,000, $200,000? And by the way, he's not going to be the only one. There's going to be several people hitting this guy up because they know that's what they're working on. I mean, these large corporations keep an eye on government. You know, the next meeting the topic of the meeting of whatever committee will be this. And if that affects you, boom, you're right in there. I mean, you're right in there right from the very, very start. You and me, we will wait years to hear anything. We will ask our congressman, how is it going? Well, it's in committee. Well, it's being proposed. It's being written. It's being reviewed. It's going to be placed on the floor for vote. You know, it will go on for years. But these guys, during that year, 2 years, and tell you, it takes years sometimes. Year, but you're working on it. Oh, yeah, I voted for this guy. He's working on this legislation. He's for me all the way. You know, that's what we think. But think about it for a second, folks. They're working on those 2 years. These guys are getting bombarded. And it's rare, very, very rare, that a guy will tell somebody who gave him $100,000 for their campaign, saying, hey, Charlie, forget it. Get lost. This legislation is going to be written to protect the people that I represent against you. Oh, come on. That's going to happen 1 out of 100 times, maybe. 1,000 times, maybe. You know? So the legislators are working with the big money people for a year or two before the legislation is written and voted on. And then you get the legislation. Think about it. Now, the legislation could be something very simple. Right? Very simple. However, it's 24 pages long. It's 2,400 pages long. Very simple thing. And all of a sudden, you get this book of legislation, tremendous amount of legislation. I mean, no one can understand it. No one. But there are loopholes everywhere. And the person or the group that becomes regulated is not the ones that were originally intended to be regulated. It's you that become, you and I, that become regulated. Then we say, well, you can't do it anymore because regulation so-and-so, and they'll give it a nice name, you know, like the Patriot Act. They give it a nice name. Well, no, according to legislation, really, that's not permitted anymore in order to facilitate blah, 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 blah. Then you find out your own rights and your liberties have been taken away. Isn't that interesting? All of a sudden, my rights and my liberties were taken away. When I'm the one that went to my congressman, my elected official, and pleaded for some sort of regulation to protect me against the bad guy, who I perceive to be the bad guy or the wrongdoer, and who winds up influencing the elected official in writing the legislation. Who is that person? Is it me? No, I can't get to see the guy. Oh, I could write him a memo or an email, and I get a form letter back that says, oh, thank you very much, Mr. Cristiano. We appreciate your input, Senator so-and-so. We'll be considering this very important, and we appreciate your feedback, and we will keep you in touch. And then all garbage, 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 garbage. That's all you get is garbage, right? And there you are. They're writing the legislation, right? With the wrongdoer, right? The legislation comes out. They profit by it. They find a way to make that legislation weasel worded such a way that before it was bad, now it's even worse than it was before. If, in fact, you were given a copy of the legislation, the voted on legislation, the approved legislation, to read, I can guarantee you, I will guarantee, I'll buy anybody lunch who said they can understand it. It'll be weasel worded all the way through. In accordance with Act 456, Article 4, Subsection 1, EEII, the following will be proposed. However, notwithstanding, yo, come on, by the time you have a headache after the second sentence. And all we wanted to do was say, that guy can't, that corporation or that person can't do that anymore. That's wrong. But when you think about it, if it's wrong, why do we need any legislation? Why is it necessary? If it's wrong, we had elected officials say, hey, that's wrong. Stop doing that. Well, because the elected official will be telling the person who got him into office, not you. You didn't get him into office. You voted for him. But they received the money from the other guy. You can't do that anymore. They're not going to do that. You know that. Self-regulation, folks, is the only true form of regulation. Now, for those of you who think that's idiotic and stupid, And if you're progressive, you're going to say, this guy's lost his marbles, you know? We need a strong, blah, 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 you know, regulation and and the government knows what to do because we don't know what to do. We'll just, you know, we're anarchists. We're out there. We'll be burning cars in the street, killing babies and, you know, all that stupid stuff. There's a perception that if there's no legislation, all of a sudden, right, let's assume for a second. Right now, the government came out and said, by the way, we did away, we burnt all the legislation. There's no regulation whatsoever. There's only the Constitution. Good luck, everybody. What's the first thing I would do? Go out and burn cars, turn them over, shoot people, you know, what do I do? Yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, that's the perception. Go, you know, go to stores and rob everything and steal and point a gun and force people to do things they wouldn't do. Yeah, that's what, no regulation. I'm going to go crazy. Yay, I'm going to do all this stuff. That is absolutely, absolutely insane. If there was if all the legislation in the United States, all of it, except for the Constitution, if it all went away, and by the way, the Constitution is no, there is no regulation in the Constitution. But if it all went away, all millions and millions of books, millions of pages, wiped off the face, they said, there is none, good luck, Washington's closed down. What would I do? Exactly what I'm doing now. Except instead of complaining about it, I would be applauding it. Would I be harming somebody? No. After this, I'm going to get on my motorcycle, take a ride, and hopefully go for a cup of coffee. Now, because there's no legislation, oh, when I'm driving, I'm going to start hitting people. Well, no, I'm going to go take a ride on my motorcycle and go for a cup of coffee. No difference. Why is there a perception if there's no regulation, we don't have a society that'll function? Let's take a break. Station identification. It would help if I turned the volume up.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. This morning I'm talking about, discussing, I usually say ranting. One of my sons said, don't use the word rant. You overdo that word. I think they're correct. By the way, I'm eating a cracker. I'm having something for breakfast. So if you hear crunching, it's not your microphone or your headphones or whatever, your computer. It's me. I've had nothing to eat this morning. I just needed something. I'm sorry. So, you know, I hope you understand the fact that the most heavily imposed form of regulation is self-regulation. I want to give you just one example, then I'm going to move on to another subject. One of my hobbies is concealed carry weapons, guns. And it's just a hobby. Well, I got a couple of them, you know. And I belong to the Gun Collectors Association and whatever. I have a casual interest. I'm not heavy duty. Yeah, and so once in a while, and not often, maybe once every 2 years, this, you know, I'll go to a gun show. In fact, this weekend is the largest gun show in the world, and it's held here in Tulsa because we have the largest arena of its size that'll handle it, an expo center, largest one in the United States, and it's called the Wanamaker. Gun show, it's on November 14th or something, let's say, November 12th and 13th. And what's interesting, in fact, I know John Wanamaker. He belongs to the Indian Territory Gun Collectors Association, as I do. And these guys are mostly historians. They're bright guys, really historians. It's great. They talk about the Civil War, the War of 1812, you know, World War I. It was fascinating, and all of the different types of firearms that were used and how they worked or didn't work and why they were made. It's fascinating. These guys are basically historians. And not a bunch of kooks walking in there saying they want to shoot the place up. Believe me, they're not. The exact opposite. In fact, one of the guys who belonged there, who just recently died, had the most extensive Derringer collection, gun collection, in the world, worth millions of dollars. Anyway, fascinating. And he used to give presentations on it all the time. Fascinating. Anyway. And the reason why I bring that up is when I go to a gun show, and I used to go pretty often at one time, a few years ago, I would go, you know, once every couple of months almost, or every 3 months. When I go to a gun show, now, people don't carry, are not permitted to carry loaded guns, but they're allowed to carry guns. If they're selling guns, they have them over their shoulder with a sign, you know, for sale type thing. And there are, I mean, hundreds of thousands of firearms in this building. Hundreds of thousands. I'm not kidding you. I mean, it's a phenomenal of them. All different types. AK-47s, AR-15s. I mean, cannons. Everything you can think. Everything you can think of. It's kind of a neat thing to see. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing how polite everyone is. I always marvel at the politeness of everyone there. And there's no regulation. Now, they say, please don't carry a loaded gun. And they do check to say, make sure the guns aren't loaded. Not because they feel someone's going to kill someone, is because they accidentally go off. Because they're trading guns. They're trading back and forth, back and forth. Let me tell you, I've done this too. I say, oh, yeah, it's not loaded. And it's being loaded. The guy's pulling the trigger or something to check out, and the gun's loaded. Now, in all the years, it's been many years that I've gone to a gun show, I've never seen anyone get shot. I've never seen anyone get hurt. I've never seen a gunfight. It could be easily done. I mean, I could sneak in there with a gun. I mean, it's all voluntary. I don't have to show my gun. I have my, you know, have it in my holster, walk in and say it's empty. You know, it's over. Now, they may ask to say it, but they have to know I have it first. You know, it's cool out. I have a jacket on. They're not going to frisk me. This is not the TSA. I can walk in there with a high-powered 45. No one would know it. So you see, it's self-regulation. And it's amazing. You see these big, burly guys. I mean, big. I mean, tough-looking. I mean, type of guys that you see on the street, you go, oh, my God, I hope he doesn't hit me, you know. And they'll pass by and they'll say, oh, excuse me, sir. Thank you very much. And they're so incredible. Everyone is so incredibly polite. The most polite place in the world is a place where there's the most firearms. Now, what does that tell you, folks? What does that tell you? Come on. I mean, you know, it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite of what you would expect. You expect a guy having this high-powered, semi-automatic machine gun, you know, on his shoulder. You know, really tough. Hey, get out of my way, you punk, right? You know, I'll blast your head off. You know, see outside, I'll load up my gun, I'll blow your head off. No, I tell you, you bunk, oh, excuse me, oh, pardon me, I mean that, you know, thank you very much, have a nice day. Everyone is, I wish the world in general would be as polite as the people that you meet in gun shows carrying high-powered weapons. You know what the difference is? In that gun show, in all gun shows, it's basically self-regulation. Outside, everyone's waiting for somebody else to regulate and protect them. They know in that gun show, you protect yourself. And everyone respects that. And it's amazing the level of respect everyone has for one another. Folks, I cannot impress upon you enough that government regulation does nothing but unregulate society. It literally cripples society, and it almost is like giving a permission to people to do the wrong thing, because someone's regulating it, and if I get away with it, better for me, you know, better for me, forget them. But an unregulated society, let me tell you something, everyone's, even those people who would in fact do wrong, are on, you know, on their QTs. They just watch themselves. Let me give you an example. Let's say a guy went into a restaurant, you know, where he knew, for example, that a good number of people carried self-defense weapons. I mean, not bad people, just regular family people, just nice people, regular restaurant. You name it. You fill in the blank, whatever restaurant you want. And this guy was a really mean guy. He's going to blow some, he has to blow somebody's head off. He's the type of guy that goes in there and he's going to rub the cash register and blow off the head. You think this guy is going to walk into that restaurant? And he said, well, let me see. I don't think so. Don't want to die today. I will go someplace else. You know, there's your self-regulation. Now, I'm taking an extreme case of someone who's already mentally deranged, you know, other than myself, obviously, you know, who would do something like that. But we don't have that. Take war, for example. I love this analogy. Take this, for example. Get rid of the military, as we know it. Everything. Aircraft carriers, most jets. I mean, just have some jet fighters. No bombers. No aircraft carriers. Maybe a couple of ships patrolling our area, right? And reduce the military fivefold, tenfold, okay? Tenfold. Bring everybody home. Give everybody a weapon. Everyone belongs to the state militia as it was intended. Everybody. Everyone is encouraged. No one is regulated. We have a small centralized army, but even better, we have strong state militias, you know, or what they call armies. What do they call them? Well, I can't think of it. You know, you know what I mean. The ones that are under the governor. And who's going to invade us? Just think about it. How are they going to invade you? They're going to throw an atomic bomb on you? For what reason? You're not bothering anybody. They say, yeah, I have nothing better to do today. Let's throw a few atomic bombs and, you know, poison the earth. For what reason? You're trading with them. You're a partner with them. You're friends with them. You're not impinging on their rights to do whatever they want. And you're a good customer of theirs. Why would they invade you? Why would they try to take you? Let's assume they try to take you over. How are they going to do that? The United States is a big place. Really, it's a big place, believe it or not. Look at the map. Look at the size of the United States. There are only a couple other places that are bigger than the United States, like Russia. I think even Greenland's bigger than the United States, but there's no people living there. You know, it's one of the biggest countries in the world. I don't think it's too much smaller than China. The United States is bigger than all of Europe. I mean, they're going to come here. What are they going to do? Have an invasion force hit New York Harbor and come on there? And, you know, there'll be 330 million people, you know, with some sort of self-defense armament. How are you going to do that? You can't. Not only can't you do that, but you wouldn't want to. And why wouldn't you want to? Well, if you're a country and your country is profiting, I can't say the word this morning, my goodness, from this other country, and you are on good terms with them, and you are trade. Forget about religious differences, forget about political, ideological differences. There is none, because the United States is just a group of people. There's no government, anything. And the people in the United States are buying a lot of stuff that your country makes, making your country more powerful, wealthier, better standard of living. Why would you invade us? Well, we're going to invade you, take it over, and we're going to take advantage of all those natural resources. How are you going to do that? Oh, now, you may have a big bomb and say, we're going to take this bomb and make the United States one big crater. What happens? We can't trade with you anymore. You see, I mean, there's your self-regulation. Why? Well, we're going to do it because we hate their freedom. Let's destroy them. I know they're buying our products and services and they're good to us and, you know, our standard of living is better and we're a richer nation because of them, but we don't like their freedom. Let's destroy them. It doesn't make any sense, folks. You see what I mean? If you just leave everyone alone, Self-regulation perpetuates peace, not war. Regulation perpetrates war. Disagreement divides people, creates class warfare. And also creates, guess what? National warfare. Well, you regulate us here, we're going to regulate you there. Both groups lose out. Both groups get entrenched. Both groups start saying the other guy's a bad guy, starts a war. I am absolutely convinced. And the most stringent regulation is self-regulation. But more importantly, what it does, it perpetuates peace, whether you like it or not. It's the exact opposite of what government will tell you to do. It does. Let's stop for station identification. I think I need a cup of coffee.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I wish you would call in. We had no callers this morning. 888-773-4496. I think I'm going to go for about 45 minutes. I got about 10 minutes left, 12 minutes left. 888-773-4496. I'd love to get your emails. I will respond to each one of them. And if so, have you on the air or read your email on the air. Fair enough. 888-773-4496. Email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I'd love to hear from you. Now, obviously, if you're listening to this on a rebroadcast or from my archives, you can't call in. So let me hear from you, comments@libertytalkradio.com. There's an assumption also that I only want to hear from people that agree with me. In fact, the exact opposite is true. It does me very little good. I mean, it makes me feel good. It's a warm and cozy if people say, oh, geez, Joe, that was a good point. Thank you very much. It was a good approach. I really agree with you. I appreciate that, you know. But we don't learn much. We may learn one way. But the other way, if someone says, you know, you make a good point. However, I disagree because I love those. I'm not going to attack you because I will really consider your point of view. And then maybe even do a program on it. So I particularly accept and encourage rebuttals and disagreements. Please do, okay? It's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Our telephone number is 888-773-4496. All right. I touched on regulation. I can talk about that all day long. I mean, it is a real thorn in my side. And basically, this is what I'm going to tell my very good friend on Monday afternoon while having coffee. But I'm going to ask him a question, for example. I'm saying, who's doing the... Do you have total trust in all of our elected officials? And the answer would be, hell no. I said, who will be doing the regulating? The elected officials. All right, so you want someone that you don't trust, you don't even like, you may not even have voted for, to write the regulation that most likely, because you don't trust, most likely will be in his or her best interest. Explain to me how that's going to work. And that's going to end the conversation right there. End it right there. I want to talk a little bit about the Occupy Wall Street my good friend, Paul Jacobs, he writes that column, Common Sense. Paul is one of the most, I guess, prolific writers on freedom, personal freedom, of anyone that I know. He is an absolutely amazing person. I mean, when I say I look up, I look so far up to this guy that it hurts my neck. All right? This guy is amazing. I love this guy. And he talks about the Occupy Wall Street movement as people, as not being protesters. Listen to this. Not being protesters, but a change in our way of living in our society. Just think about that. Just think about that just for a second. I really have a few more minutes on the air. And remember, call in 888-773-4496. Please call in, even if it's the last minute call in. Just think about that. I mean, that really, when I say that, I sort of get goosebumps. It bothers me. It really disturbs. It disrupts everything that I've ever learned or assumed about our country. In other words, the protests are there. People are there. And they're not protesting for a day, taking a day off, you know, walking down the street, and, you know, and then going back to work. They showed up, and they're there for a day, several days, a week, a month, several months. In other words, we see the growth of a new community within society. Just think about that. It's actually a new way of life that we see. We see a transformation of society. Not protesters, but people not being able maybe to afford an apartment or a house or anything like that, or a place to stay. Buying or sharing a tent with someone they may not even know, and living out on the street. It's the exact opposite of where this country had been going for the past 200 years. You see, it's just that embryonic stage of reverting back to where we came from. And we're being forced to go back because our country can no longer, our society can no longer support our standard of living. Now, I know we hear so much about the economic indicators. I subscribe to the American Institute of Economic Research, and still around 70 to 90% of all the leading, lagging, and coincident economic indicators are rising. They're improving. But they're improving at the expense of employment, actually. Because we're doing a lot more efficiently, higher quality, with fewer people. Our productivity is way up. Highest productivity in the world, I think, is in the United States. Would you believe it? Companies are reopening manufacturing processes here in the United States. Unfortunately, when at one time they would have hired 1,200 people, now they're hiring 200. Folks, and the other 1,000 are on the street, and they can't find the job. But their mentality is one in which they're looking at government. Government, well, what are you going to do about this? I mean, there must be some lever that you push and then makes jobs available. No, it's not. You see, it's something that we have to do for ourselves. Eventually, the people who live in tent cities, and I agree with them. Now, they're all there for different reasons, and most of which I disagree with. But I agree with the act of being there. In fact, I've really been tempted to go there myself. But eventually, they're going to have to look for a job. But there are going to be no jobs. There are going to be no jobs. So they're going to have to revert back to doing it for themselves, of making a job, of creating a job, creating some value to society. You see, we're going way, way back. We're going back to like the very beginning of our society in the United States, where people, there was no jobs or companies. People had to make for themselves. They acquired a skill or just ran some sort of service for people who had skills to augment society. You see, we're reverting back to our roots. That's what that's about. Think about that. I have an addition to my office. We're almost finished now. I have an addition to my office that's just great. I have to tell you about this. I have a map of the world, which I had placed on a board, professionally done, beautifully done, and I have it hanging up. And it's amazing when you look at the geography of the world, it puts so many things in perspective. It does. You just stare at it, and you just wonder.
we are by ourselves, basically, divorced from all the problems of Africa, of Southeast Asia, of Asia Minor, of, you know, Eastern Europe, Western Europe. You know, we're even divorced basically from all the problems in South America. And we are just located in a perfect spot. And do you know, here's one little tidbit, that the United States extends further east, west, further west than Russia extends further east. In other words, the United States is further west, putting it well into Russian territory. Would you believe that? I never knew that before. The Aleutian Islands. The Aleutian Islands, the end of the Aleutian Islands, are well beyond the longitude of Russia. The most eastern longitude of Russia. I mean, if you look at this, it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Look at the map. Above the map, I have the purchasing power of the dollar since 1780. Beautiful map. Beautiful. Got that from the American Institute of Economic Research. I had that posted. You know, put on a foam board and with a hanger on and the whole bit. And the other one I have is the purchasing power of gold right next to it, hanging right next to it. And my latest edition, folks, and you know, I have spent considerable money having a $10 trillion Zimbabwe dollar framed, beautifully done, cost me like $300. And I mean, it's professionally done. And then a $20 gold certificate of 1926 right next to it. Above that, my latest edition, folks, is a V for Vendetta mask. And I bought that for my office. And it's just hanging there. It looks beautiful. It's a reminder of Guy Fawkes Day and in 1670 wanting to blow up the parliament. And today, you know, we should all become Guy Fawkes. Not we should blow up the Capitol, but really we should be dissidents and revolutionaries. Every one of us. Like I say, we need to be revolutionaries in thought and dissidents in action. And that thing sits there and it just stares at me. Gives me chills. I love that movie, V for Vendetta. Well, folks, this is the end of today's broadcast, I think. I think we're just about running out of time. I want to thank you guys for listening. And I will turn on our bumper song and end it. Please do write in to comments@libertytalkradio.com if you listen to this broadcast. I'd like to get hear your slant on things. Oops.
Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure Libertarian Talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
This is the end of this morning's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shaker's Audiology for the financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Grant Shaker's Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at area code 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government's like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move. Ron Paul has a sign in his desk that says, "Don't steal." The government hates competition. With that, until next time, this is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.